I was talking to someone last weekend who is starting a new career in about 3 weeks' time, leaving behind at the age of 52 a highly paid job with a company car, lots of perks, and a very high salary. But a job which was so demanding that it made big problems for his marriage and so stressed him that he was living at a pace where he didn't know whether he was coming or going. And giving up the comfortable, though very stressed life for a job that was only paid half as much without any perks. He told me it was like having his life shattered into 1,000 pieces, as if his life was a jar that was smashed at his feet, he said. But already in the 2 weeks since he handed in the keys of his Audi, he's beginning to feel that his life is being put together again, that the jar is being, as he said, remolded. He said, it's only a faint feeling, but I am beginning to see that God's grace is at work already, helping me to see that in my new job, I will be called on to give so much more to others, instead of living, as he said, all for himself and for his self-contained existence. The jar, he said, is beginning to take a new shape. And the question that this man prompts me to ask, or prompts us to ask, is when we have felt shattered or broken, left staring at some part of our life in pieces at our feet, how have we reacted? The very few of us, even the youngest among us, have escaped some shattering experience, I'm sure. The sudden death of a person we loved, the loss of a job, a diagnosis of a serious illness, the shattering of a relationship, or some other disaster that penetrated our well-insulated barriers. Each one of us has experienced such moments, and our usual reaction, I'm sure you'll agree, is to try to push it away, sometimes to pretend it doesn't happen, to be in denial. And very often we're overcome with fear or anger, resentment, paralysis. And it is so easy, as we know from our own experience and the experience of those around us, in these situations to become hardened, to become iced up inside. I remember one confession I heard. It was in Rome some years ago, when a man opened his confession with the words, "Father, since my wife died 7 months ago, I'm all frozen up inside. I'm all iced up. I can't feel anything." So let's turn for a moment to today's gospel story of the assassination of Jesus, and how Luke notes the reactions of everybody present, how they responded to that terrible thing that was happening in front of them. First of all, he notices the crowd. The gospel says they were watching. Watching. A sort of cold stare. No hint of pity, no hint of any distress at what they were seeing. Just coldly watching. And then Luke notes that the leaders jeered at Jesus. And thirdly, he notes that the soldiers also mocked him. And so we're left with the question, what had turned these people into cold zombies? What had turned the soldiers into mockers? What in their lives had turned the leaders into jeerers? And even the man crucified alongside Jesus feeling the same pain and suffering, how did he react? The Gospel says that he abused Jesus. And what, lastly, in complete contrast, turned the other man hanging on his cross on the other side of Jesus? What made him speak up for Jesus and feel all the injustice of Jesus' torment? But though Luke doesn't mention it, it is mentioned later. What, above all, made Jesus in that terrible moment when he felt so much rejection, so much injustice, made him turn to his tormentors and utter words of forgiveness? What had kept his heart from being iced up? What kept his heart soft, his feelings so compassionate? We hesitate to answer that question. It is too far beyond our understanding. But perhaps we can each try in our own way to answer it. I remember once attending a man in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham, where we were chaplains, aged 54, who had come in from Redditch, I think, after suffering a severe heart attack. And after spending an hour or so with him and with his family, I went back to the Priory in Harborne about 8 o'clock at night, and the following morning I went down to the QE and went straight into the room where I'd left him. And I found that he was surrounded with medical staff, so I retreated as fast as I could. I went to find the family, and they were full of hope, telling me how Dad had spoken to each one of them the night before he had become conscious. He had been able to talk to each one of them, and how he had been reconciled with the young daughter who was, as I said, the black sheep of the family. And suddenly, while they were telling me all this, the young lady doctor who had been attending him came into the day room and had to break the bad news that the dad had had a second heart attack and that they couldn't save him. But why I remember this story among all the stories I remember from the QE was the reaction of that young woman doctor. She went straight to the man's wife and hugged her for a long time, and went round and cried helplessly with each of the family. So what, I wondered, had kept her heart so soft, so compassionate, in a work situation, in a busy hospital, where she must have seen countless such tragedies? And so the question is, how do we keep our hearts soft, our hearts open, in times when our lives are shattered, or when we are with others whose lives are broken? I leave you with the question, and with the other questions I have asked, each of us to answer them in our own way. Or perhaps not to answer the questions, but to ponder the questions. It's so important to spend time pondering important questions rather than finding quick answers. I'd like to quote from a Jewish writer who raises very difficult questions about Auschwitz and the other concentration camps. And he writes this, and it's very interesting. We raise ourselves to God by the questions we ask him. We raise ourselves to God by the questions we ask him. We question God, and God answers. But those answers lie in the depths of our soul. We find the true answers only within ourselves. We question God and God answers, but those answers lie in the depths of our soul. We find the true answers only within ourselves.